Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. Well, you probably don't remember it because you were so little at the time. Somebody took out a book and read you a story. You liked it. It might have been your mom or dad. You're sitting on their lap there and enjoying them and reading you a story. Now, you probably had a favorite. Mine was the Five Chinese Brothers. You might be familiar with that one, maybe not. Well, that was my absolute favorite. I could have that one read again and again and again. The Five Brothers, well, they all each had different unique physical abilities and talents. And so with that, there was a story that went along with it. And even to this day, I still enjoy reading that. Reading stories, that's just people. That's who we are. We enjoy that kind of thing. And Jesus knows that too. He knows that people like to hear stories, and so that's why he used parables to communicate with the people. Because you see, these stories that he would share, well, they have messages. People like a story. So, like in our gospel reading here today, Jesus shares a story here to communicate a message to the people so that they'd hear it. Now, the great thing about stories there is that, well, they're rather timeless. So it doesn't matter if these stories are 2,000 years old or not, they still apply and can share a message with those who hear. And so Jesus here, he was teaching the people. He was there in the temple preaching the gospel. Now while doing so, right prior to our lesson here, while he's up there preaching and teaching the people, well, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders there, they all come to Jesus and ask, "By what authority do you teach these things?" Thus, Jesus begins our parable here this morning. Luke says it this way, "And he began to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard and let it out to tenants and went to another country for a while. And when the time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard." Now, it's always important to know who the characters are there in the story. Now, the man who owns the vineyard, well, that would be God. He's the one who planted the vineyard. Now, the vineyard is the house of Israel. Now, you might be thinking, it's like, well, how do you know that? Well, it says so in Scripture. Go to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7 in particular, where it points out this. "The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." So, anytime you see a story there in Scripture there that talks about a vineyard, you can almost guarantee that that's God there speaking about the house of Israel, the children of Israel. So the tenants then, who are they? Well, they are the leaders there whom God has given charge to take care of the vineyard. Now when the time came, God sent a servant to the leaders there, to the tenants, so that they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. Now, who would be the leaders there in Jesus' day? Well, that would be going right back to the chief priests, teachers of the law there, the scribes, the elders. They are the ones who are leading, teaching the people of Israel. So what kind of fruit is God expecting from them? Well, think of it in these terms. What kind of leader does God want? He wants one who's going to have compassion there on the people. He's going to have one that's going to give justice to the people. Right, not take bribes and those kinds of things. Make sure that everybody is dealt with equally. Also, too, he's going to have a leader there who's going to take care of the widows and the orphans. Basically, the leaders there are to show the same kind of characteristics that God does to his people. So they, in turn, share that with others as well. Now, when you look at the New Testament, we know these fruits by a different name. We call those the fruits of the Spirit. Now, the servant, he comes to leaders. And so who are the servants then that are being sent to the tenants? Well, they would be the prophets. Those are the ones that God would be sending there to the people. And how were they treated? Well, but the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but they also beat and treated him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. And he sent yet a third, this one also that they wounded and cast out. Think about what happened to the prophets back in the Old Testament. Well, they were treated poorly. They were thrown down in a well hole there to sit there, Jeremiah. Again, people didn't like hearing from them. Why? Because the prophet's job there was to point out where they were sinning, that they need to repent, to turn back from that. And funny how people don't like to be told that they're doing something wrong. So instead of changing, they'd beat the messenger. And so that's what was happening. So what were they doing instead with the fruits of the vineyard? Well, the tenants, the leaders there, they were keeping that for them, for their own selfish desires. So what was God to do? Well, the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him so that the inheritance may be ours." And they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Now, it's interesting to note here, in Luke's account, talks about how the beloved one sent my beloved son. Now, in the other gospel accounts, whenever you hear that word beloved son, well, you think of the transfiguration. You know, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Right, that's what God's saying there at the transfiguration. But Luke doesn't do that. The only other time Luke talks about beloved son is at Jesus' baptism. There he was anointed and set aside for ministry. That's what was going to happen. It's pointing out very clearly that this anointed one is the Messiah, who would be king, king of kings. But what did the tenants do here with the beloved son? They killed him. The leaders wanted the inheritance. They wanted Israel to be for their own uses and desires. It was not for service to the Lord. Now, we can certainly see a parallel here that Jesus is sharing here in advance about what's going to happen to him. But that's not the point just yet. There's more to the story. Well, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to the leaders? Well, it says he will come and destroy those tenants and give the vineyard to others. And when they heard this, they said, "Surely not." Who is saying, "Surely not"? Well, that would be the chief priests, teachers of law, the scribes there, and the elders. They're the ones who are saying this. And it's because they realize that Jesus is directing this story right to them. They're hearing these words, and they're interpreting them as words of judgment against them, and rightfully so. But this whole parable here, this whole story up to this point, is just a setup for what Jesus is going to say next. Here's words again. "But he looked directly at them and said, 'What then is this that is written? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him.'" Now the builders and the tenants, that's the same group of people here. That would be the leaders, right? The chief priests, the teachers of law, the scribes. They have all rejected Jesus very clearly here. But Jesus says, "I am the cornerstone. And on this cornerstone, the house of Israel is built. On this cornerstone is the essence of our faith in Jesus. That's where the church is going to be built, on this cornerstone. But anyone who falls on that stone, well, they will be broken. They will be crushed." These words are words of judgment here. Failure to believe in Jesus means that they will be condemned. Now, tell me, when you hear these kinds of words, and other words in Scripture there when we talk about the law, what is the purpose of the law? Now, remember the law there, it's talking about teaching the Ten Commandments and following those. What, again, is the purpose of sharing the law? So that we might recognize that we have sinned, that we have failed to keep the commandments. And in so doing, then, we recognize then that, well, we need a Savior. You see, the purpose of the law there is to shove us towards the Savior, so that we might come to understand that we really need saving. And who is that Savior? The Savior is the cornerstone, the beloved Son. It's Jesus. Now, when we hear that story, where do we find ourselves? Sometimes, what? It's the vineyard. You know, we're one of the people out there in the vineyard. And sometimes, well, we're perhaps one of the tenants, the leaders there. Well, we've been given gifts to use. We have different talents and abilities to use. Do we use them in service to God and His kingdom? Or do we rather selfishly use them for our own self-serving interests? Perhaps too often, it's the latter case. Messages like these are meant for us. We are to repent of our sins, and in keeping with that repentance, produce fruit. Fruit there. For every time we come and confess our sins, in essence there, we're kneeling before the cross, are we not? We are laying our sins there at Jesus' feet. And in turn, He died for those sins, earning forgiveness for you and I. For you see, the beloved Son was put to death there, and that death has meaning. For all who believe in Jesus Christ have that forgiveness of sins that is ours. It means new life for those who believe. It means a new and fresh start every time we confess our sins and we're forgiven. So today, think about this. Think about this story like it's the first time someone read to you. Here you are, sitting on God's lap, enjoying Him telling you the story there. But as you hear that story, perhaps you're getting a little uncomfortable. And like the child who wants to get off the lap there, you want to slip off, you know, and you kind of arch your back, kind of like you're going to sneak off and slip off there. Well, no, that's when, just like Mom and Dad, they have that arm around you and bring you in a little bit closer. That's what the Lord God is doing with us. And so when we hear those words there, and we might feel uncomfortable because it kind of sounds like a little judgment in our ear that we haven't been using those gifts and talents like the Lord wants us to, and we kind of want to squirm and get away. But that's when He leans over a little bit and whispers at our ear, "You are forgiven." And that's when we begin to relax a little bit more. And then just like when we enjoy sitting on someone's lap like that, we kind of lean back into their chest and enjoy that love all the more. Christian that you are, when you confess those sins, the Lord God has whispered in your ear, you are forgiven. You've been given a fresh start. So take those gifts and talents and abilities that the Lord God has given to you. Put those in service in His kingdom. And watch the fruits be produced through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.